2 weeks.
Okay. So, we'll try to make a little progress in the Gemara this morning, mostly, in the interest of getting eventually to the singular that the Mishnah had spoken about, but just to try to cover a little more ground in the Gemara itself. So, at the bottom of your Gimel Mid Aleph, so the Gemara continues the drasha from the passage before of Vahayu. So we saw that, what does Vahayu tell us so far? So, Vahaviyasin Yehu. So that was Rebbe's opinion that Kriya Shema, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
Finishing
six times, a movie star. Very exciting. So, Vahayu here, Shal Yikur Lamafreya, that you shouldn't read it out of order. Hadvarim alav avecha, yachol tehe kol parsha tzricha kavana. One could have thought that the entire parsha has to have kavana, talmud lomar, ha'ela. These words. Ad kan tzricha kavana, mikan ve'elach, ad ein tzricha kavana. So up until this point, you need kavana. From here on afterwards, you don't need kavana. Divrei Rabbi. So what we're going to see here is that the word kavana is used in different contexts. So we had spent some time last week talking about kavana in the broader mitzvah strichas kavana context. But here, we're presumably, it sounds like we're using the word kavana differently than we had used it last week. That when the Gemara had talked about it, that the mitzvah srichas kavana, the general question of whether you need to have awareness that you're doing a mitzvah, so here the usage seems different. That while you're reciting Kriya Shema, you need to have a certain specific kind of awareness, and that you only need to have it in this context and not in that context, up to this point, not to that point. We'll see the Gemara is going to give us different statements, but it seems to be introducing a new kind of kavana. And here, Ad Khan, so Ad Khan says, Rashi, Ad Alav Avecha, and Tosfos here says, Ad B'chom Odecha. Sheshnei Psukim Elu Medabrim B'yichud Hashem B'avoso V'yiroso. That apparently these first two Psukim, they tell us about God's unity, about the obligation to love Him and to fear Him, and therefore that's unique in terms of its requirements for kavana. That's the position of Rabbi Elazar. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Harehu Omer, after the next Amid, Gimel Beis, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Alav Avecha, Mikana Talamed Shekola Parsha Kula Tzricha Kavana. That shows us that the entire Parsha needs kavana. So Am Rabba Barachana, Am Rabbi Yochan Halacha, Kerebi Akiva, and Ikad Mastila Haditanya, for those who teach it in this context, Akari Yeshma, Tzarech Shechavein Es Libo, Rav Acham Yishim Rav Yehuda Omer, Kevin Shekivin Libo, Beperag Rishon, Shuv Eino Tzarech. Once he had Kavana in this first parak, he doesn't have to have Kavana afterwards. So again, this is clearly a different usage than we found previously. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kareb Acha, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Huda. So, Rabbi Bar Chana said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan, the Halacha is like the statement of Rabbi Acha." Tani Idach, who learned otherwise, V'hayu Shalom Yikra Mafreya. V'hayu tells us you shouldn't read it, read the Pesukim out of order. Abba Bar Acha, what does that tell us? Rav Zutra Amar Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kavana, Mikan V'Elach Mitzvahs Kriya. That up until this point is a mitzvah of kavana, and from here on in is a mitzvah of kriya. Rabbi Yoshi Amar Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya, Mikan V'Elach Mitzvahs Kavana. So two different opinions of how at one point you switch from either kriya to kavana or kavana to kriya. So what does that mean? So were they mutually exclusive terms? What does one have to do with the other? What exactly are we talking about? So the Gemara asks, Maishna Mikan V'Elach Mitzvahs Kriya Dichsev L'daber Bam. So you're going to tell me what? Why is it until now Mitzvahs Kriya? Because Pasuk says L'daber Bam, Sachanami Ksev V'Dibarta Bam. So in the second parasha also, we talk about Kriya, we say V'Dibarta Bam. Hachiksani. So now here's what we're talking about. Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kavana V'Kriya. That until now there is the mitzvah of both Kavana and Kriya together. Mikan ve'elech, kriya below kavana. And from here on in, is a mitzvah of kriya, but no specific mitzvah of kavana. So Maishna ad kam mitzvahs kavan v'kriya. So you're going to say, well, why is that the case? That until here now, it is kavan and kriya. D'chtiv al v'avecha v'dibarta bam. Because it has those two key phrases, al v'avecha v'dibarta bam. So hasam nami haksiv al v'avecha v'daber bam. So in the second parasha, you also have phrases that indicate in that direction, al v'avecha v'daber bam. So hahu mibayilei, maybe those are necessary already, they're already used for Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak's statement. Amar v'samta misdivrei eila tzricha shtehei sima keneged halev. This is to tell us about the placement of tefillin, that the placement should be keneged halev. And that as Rashi says, "Tav v'samtem d'chsiyev lav b'kriya v'kavana ayri ela b'simas tefillin shal yad shehei samosa al gova shal yad keneged halev." They're telling us where the tefillin should be placed in a way that it is opposite the heart. So the Gemara essentially continues this next passage. Amar Marav Yoshi Amar Adkam Mitzvahs Kriya Mikam Ve'elach Mitzvahs Kavana. So Ma'ishna Mikam Ve'elach Mitzvahs Kavana. Why are we saying that from here on in is Mitzvahs Kavana? Mishum Dechsev Alavavchem. So Hachanami Ksev Alavavechem. So you also have in the first paragraph Alavavechem. Hachiksani. So here's how we should really be saying it. Adkam Mitzvahs Kriya Ve'kavana Mikam Ve'elach Kavana Below Kriya. Umaishna had come with his creative Kavana dechsev alavavchem vidibarta bam, hasamnami hexiv alavavchem vidabra bam, hao vidivrei tariksiv. And that's what the Gemara often says in the context of some of these back and forths about Kriyashma, and how does one read a pasuk, how does the other one read a pasuk. So the conclusion is that maybe if you want to reject the limud by Kriyashma, so you could say that the reference is to Divrei Torah. And this is the intent. That you should make your children learn Torah so that they shall be involved and they shall study it. They shall learn it. Okay. Do we need more Gemara? Okay, can we use this one? Good. Okay. Fine. So these passages now, as it's going to continue, so some of these next lines are going to be relevant to some of the proofs that are quoted in terms of how much of Kriya Shema is Min HaTorah. This is going to be a major part of the discussion. So you may recall from our introductory discussion, there are essentially, say, at least four views in terms of how much of Kriya Shema is Min HaTorah. Either the first Pasuk, which as we mentioned, has become fused with Baruch Shem, so the first Pasuk and Baruch Shem in terms of the Halachos, but maybe the first Pasuk is the essence of Kriya Shema, or the first paragraph, first two paragraphs, or the first, or the whole three-paragraph package, which presumably means combining it with Mitzvah Zechiras Asiyas Mitzrayim. So here we just saw the Gemara is essentially singling out the first opening Pesukim with some type of special status. So the Gemara is going to continue with that, and some of these Gemaras are going to indicate or may be possibly relevant to proving what's the rice and what's not. So here the Gemara in the second wide line, at the end of the first wide line, the Gemara picks up, Tana Rabbana and Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Adkan, Tzricha Kavanas Halev, Divir Meir. Up until here, just until the end of that first pasuk, we need kavanah salev. That's Reb Meir's opinion. Amar Rava halacha ke Reb Meir. Rava said halacha is like Reb Meir in this point. Tanya sumcha somer kol hamayrich be'echad marichon lo yamav u'shnosav. That whoever makes the dalid long, so he is given a long life. Amar Rava chaver Yaakov uvedalis. Amar Rava shi ubavad shlo yachtav b'ches. And as long as you don't make the ches shorter while you're doing that. Rav Yirmiyah Havi Yosef Kameid Rav Chia Barava Chazi Davi Marich Tuva. So Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Chia Barava and he saw that he was spending a very long time on it. Amar Lei Kevin Dam Lichtu L'mayu L'mata L'abaruchos HaShemayim Tulo Tzrichas. Once you've already made God king up and down in the four directions, so that's enough. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim what exactly we mean by Marichin as a Dalit. So do we mean that you make the Dalit sound longer? Or do we mean that it doesn't necessarily sound any longer, but that you spend more time thinking about it while you are saying it? Because there's also a pronunciation issue if you're going to say it in a way. As far as I point out, it sounds like the word is echada, so then that's a problem in terms of pronunciation. The pronunciation is wrong. So perhaps it just means that you are thinking for a longer period of time while you're saying it. Interestingly, the Rambam puts this halacha in the category of Hilchos Diktuk Bos Yoseh, that the halacha that you would have to be precise in the letters of the Shema, so he includes this as a pronunciation halacha. And others disputed that interpretation because they said it's not about the pronunciation, it's about the kavana during the pronunciation, and that's not exactly the classification. It's also interesting that this correlates to another point that the Gemara has the drasha that we just saw in the previous Amud about possibly saying Kriya Shema in any language. So together with the halacha of being precise in the way you pronounce it, so the Rambam says that if one is going to say Kriya Shema in a translation, so then one has to still be very precise with the letters in the translation. Because the halacha of Diktuk Bos Yoseh requires that you are careful with the letters, regardless of what language you're saying it in. Because once we say that Kriya Shema can be said in any language, so then this halacha of Diktuk applies to however you're saying it. And the Ravid questioned this. The Ravid says, well, what difference does it make once you've already taken it out of the context of the other letters, so of the Hebrew language, so then what significance is there to the letters? Well, it doesn't have its original format anymore. Apparently we're saying that you just have to have the concepts. You can have the concepts in a different language as well, so then why is it that we're going to care about the Diktuk Bos Yoseh? So that's a whole story. So that machlokus and how exactly the Rambam understands this Diktuk Bos Yoseh concept. And as we'll see, it's going to tie in to a passage that shows up again after this in terms of how we understand these various drashos of how Kriya Shema can be represented in other languages. So it's going to tie in with a Gemara later. We'll just remember for now that that's a concept that comes up again. So Amar of Nasan, so just to continue here, Amar of Nasan, Barmar Ukfa, Amar of Yehuda, Alav Avecha V'Amida. That up until Alav Avecha, so you have to be Be'amida. So what exactly does it mean, Be'amida? So I'll tell you a little story about this, sort of. So when I was in Keren B'Yavna, I wanted to prepare a special sefer for Purim. But, Yosef Engel has a few svarim. There's many svarim, but two of the svarim that are particularly interesting. He has a sefer called Shivim Panim LaTorah, and a sefer called Gvura Shmona. The Shivim Panim LaTorah is 70 Terutzim to one Shaila. And the Gvura Shmona, if you want to guess what that's about, it's 80 Terutzim to a different Shaila. So I thought for Purim we could put together a sefer about the various interpretations of the following stira. Sometimes if somebody insults you, so you say, I'm not going to take this sitting down. Which is mashma that you should stand up if somebody insults you. But other times you say, I'm not going to stand for this. It's mashma you should sit down if somebody insults you. So what's pshat? So I wanted to collect a bunch of answers. I asked people what they thought the teretz was. So some thought that it was a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Defined by tefillin. Some was sitting, some was standing up. Some thought that it was
a kiddush,
right, different minhagim. Some thought that it was related to a sma in Hilchos Dayanim. The halacha is that the dayan has to be sitting and the edim have to be standing. So what if you're leaning? So the sma explains it's all relative, depends what the other person is doing. So maybe it's all relative here. So, but what's the real teretz? I mean, even though the jokes aside, the real teretz is the tosfos over here. Now, we just saw a line which should have seemed surprising, because we didn't finish the passage in the Gemara, but the Gemara is not going to explain this part any further, that the Gemara just said a part of Kriya Shema has to be Ba'amida. So we know that we don't require Amida for any part of Kriya Shema. right, that we say Kriya Shema either sitting or standing. But there is no concern that it be done in a specific position. There was a discussion in the first parak about Shchiva and Kima and the opinion of Beis Shammai, that maybe at night you have to be lying down, and during the daytime you have to be standing up. But l'halacha, this idea of standing during Kriya Shema, so we don't incorporate into halacha. So what does it mean by Amida? So Tosfos explains, and the Rishonim explain in general what it means, according from the Yerushalmi, that it doesn't mean, it's a very interesting concept here, that it doesn't mean lav dihai yoshev omed. It doesn't mean that if a person was sitting down, he has to get up. Ela dimhaya mahalich omed. That if he happens to be walking, he should stand still. And then Tosfos is going to qualify that in a second. But that's pshat on the, I'm not going to stand for this theory. Right? So it doesn't mean I'm not going to stand up. It means lashon amid, I'm not going to stand still. Right? So I'm not going to be passive. So they both mean the same thing. I'm not going to take the sitting down. I'm not going to stand for it. They're not contradictory terms. They both mean I'm not going to be passive. I'm not going to be unmoving. Right. So here, that's what Tosfos says. That's what the Gemara means. That's the language amid, which we would normally think means you should get up. So it doesn't mean to get up. It means you should be standing still. That even though the Gemara also has a general understanding when it comes to Kriya Shema, that we say it's Belech Techa Baderech, which means that even if you are traveling, you're walking, you can still recite Kriya Shema in that form. So apparently you're allowed to be walking around. But for this opening Pasuk or Psukim, one should be standing still. One should not be moving around. So what type of halacha is this? So we'll just read the end of the Gemara and then look at the rest of the Tosfos, because it's interesting just to try to figure out just exactly how significant this halacha is. So, but just to finish the passage, so alav avecha b'amida. So alav avecha salkadaita, what do you think it means? Basically just those two words. Ela eima ad alav avecha b'amida, up until those two words. Has to be done by Amida, Mikan is quoted the halacha. So if you just read the Gemara by itself, it's very confusing because it's totally at odds with our halachic practice. It sounds like it means you have to stand up, and you see the little letter there that's quoted the halacha, and you never see anybody do that, right? You never see anybody stand up for this section, so that's what's important to see the Tosfos and the other Rishonim who explain what it means. Mikan ve'elech, lo, after here, that's not the case. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, the whole parsha has to be in the state of Amida. And Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with his own reason. So let's look at the rest of this Tosfos in terms of what this halacha of Amida is. So it doesn't mean that you have to stand up, but you have to stand still. So Afal Gav, picking up from that sentence, the base Hill Amri, Kol Adam Kore Kedarko. Right, so we just mentioned that in the previous parak, the Gemara has a statement, at least of Beis Hillel's opinion, which we assume l'halacha, that you could, whatever position you happen to be in is fine for a Kriya Shema. You don't have to change positions. So Beis Shammai had said you had to do Kriya Shema Shal Shchiva lying down and Shal Kima standing up, but we assume that it doesn't matter. If you happen to be standing up at night, then you can continue Kriya Shema in that position. If you happen to be sitting down in the morning, you can continue Kriya Shema in that position. So, is this a contradiction? So, how exactly do you see the two together? So, it says, Tosfos here, Mikol Mokol Mitzvah Min HaMuvcher La'amod Kishuhu Mahalach. That when a person is walking, it's preferable that he stand still. L'fi she'eino m'yushuv kol kach, because otherwise he's not going to be so focused. V'eino yochel l'chavein kishuhu mahalich, he's not going to be able to concentrate while he is walking around. Kashur haya omer, as much as he would have if he was standing up. V'chein halacha. And that is the halacha. D'mahalach b'derech mitzvah la'amod b'pasuk echad. U'bo'inan kavana b'pasuk rishon levad. And we need this kavana in the first pasuk only. We have this statement from the Tanchuma. Rabbi Yehuda said it's not permitted to be mekabel olmach shemayim when you're walking around. Ela yamor v'yikra v'yahavta yelech l'darko. Rather, he should stand and recite that first pasuk, and then when he gets up to v'yahavta, so then he should walk on his way. So there's a lot of very interesting things one can be medayik in this Tosfos. One could try to analyze. So essentially, so first of all, is this a contradiction to that din of Beis Hillel that you can be in any position or any speed or any level of activity that you were already in? So you could have said, no, it's not a contradiction, that one is a din by all of Kriyat Shema, and this is a miyut just for that one specific pasuk has a different din for its own reasons. Even though the second opinion that isn't followed would be more at odds than, because the second opinion says that all of Kriyat Shema is by midah. So then that would be harder to reconcile, but if the first opinion that we follow, that it's just the first pasuk, so okay, so it could be that Kriyat Shema in general can be done in a moving speed, while the first pasuk has a din, do you have to stand still? Tosfos sounds a little differently, though. Tosfos basically sounds like there's just two separate tracks here. That really, Maker Hadin, you can be walking around. And that's true for all of Kriyat Shema. And that Kriyat Shema essentially would be valid if you were walking around while you're saying it. But there's a separate din that, in order to enhance your kavana, so that it's better that you should be standing still. And that will give you the ability to focus better. So the machlokis in the Gemara, how much that mitzvah min hamufchar applies to. So is there a ideal that you would really stand still for all of it? Or do we even only apply that to the opening pasuk? So that's a different way of looking at it. That really is two different tracks here. That the din of walking around is kind of b'di'evet, or kind of coming from a different place. Let's say in terms of Hilchos Kriyat Shema does not have to be said in a standing position. But the chachila, then since we want you to have better kavana, we would recommend that you stand still, and that this whole din is a chachila decadence. It's an interesting concept. And it also, so again, singles out this first pasuk.
So on that thought, then it would be a requirement to stand, because, and not to sit in Kriyat Shema.
Not necessarily, because the focus is still on standing versus moving. That you can focus, right, presumably, while
but
you are...
What transitions from the acceptance of moving to standing is the Indian of Yira and Kavana and whatever. So the difference between sitting and standing, we know that standing...
is more of a Yira. Right, so when we focus on Yira, it's true. Then the Gemara says in the context of Talmud Torah in general that the aim of Yira versus Vizeah connotes the standing in that context. So that's a reasonable point. It doesn't seem to be the way where Tosfos is coming
right,
from.
So
it's focusing on just that you're distracted. If you're going to be walking around, you maybe you can walk in Chugam, but you can't walk in the Bimakabal and Malchus Shemayim at the same time. It's not going to be with that kind of focus. But it sounds like from this Tosfos and from Halacha L'Maaseh also, that sitting is equally good. And then that, again, reconciles what we see in practice with what this Gemara is saying, that the idea of ad kam b'amidah, so you never saw anybody do it, you did see everybody. Everybody who you saw in shul who's not moving around during Kriyat Shema is in fulfillment of this din b'amidah. It's also, like I said, important to know halacha l'maaseh, even though the Gemara is not giving much of a hint of this, but that any halacha that is unique to the first pasuk, so we assume the halacha that we've grafted on Baruch Shem to that first pasuk, and therefore whatever halacha applies to the first pasuk applies to Baruch Shem also, which is a fascinating relationship, and it's going to be relevant in a minute when the Gemara, well, a few minutes, when the Gemara comes back to the question of Hefsik, that Shema Baruch Shem becomes a fused unit where there's an even greater problem of Hefsik there than there is elsewhere, as opposed to saying that Baruch Shem itself is a Hefsik. One could have argued that what right do we have to put Baruch Shem there when it's not in the Torah there? It's a topic for this week's parasha, right? So it's very appropriate to be up to this now. So not only do we not consider it a hefsek, la halacha, but we create a new Hasidic zone, that the Baruch Shem becomes fused to the Pasuk of Shema, and all the halachas that apply to Shema apply to that Pasuk as well. So there's passages such as this one, which assign a specific status to that Pasuk, distinct from the rest of Kriya Shema, are going to extend to Baruch Shem as well. So does this passage give us any indication that the first Pasuk specifically is Daraisa as opposed to the rest of Kriya Shema? So not necessarily, because it's content-based. So far, there's nothing here that contradicts the idea that more than this may be Daraisa, whether it's the first paragraph or all three paragraphs. It could be that it's all Daraisa, but because of the focus, what the Rashi said in the previous Amud about focusing on God's unity and Ava and Yira, that the content means that we should pay more attention to this first pasuk. There's going to be a higher standard of kavanah, but that doesn't necessarily contradict the idea of more than that being daraisa. The next passage, though, a little bit raises some questions. So we only have a few minutes. We'll just maybe start this next passage, and then we'll just to see how it plays in, and we'll continue it next week. So Tana Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that first pasuk, that is the Kriya Shema of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So that is one of the passages that some of the Rishonim, the Ramban talks about, and others talk about, bring as a raya, that really that's the whole
Kriya
Shema. That's the whole Kriya Shema Daraisa. Because how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi could limit himself to this pasuk if more of it is Daraisa? Now, there's going to be a clash here in general between the requirements of, let's say, Talmud Torah and Kriya Shema. So those of us who are not at this level of Taraso, Mnoso, so we're going to say Kriya Shema in its complete package anyway. But if there is anyone who is permitted to focus on the bare bones, so maybe that's an indication that the bare bones is just this. It's just the first pasuk of Shema. So Amalei Rav Rav Chia, says, I didn't ever see that Rabbi is mekabel malchus shemayim on himself. And it's what's going on here? Sorry.
Strange thing.
Right. You know, I'm with him all morning, and I don't see him being mekabel malchus shemayim.
What do you mean he didn't see him?
So what he means is that he was learning with him during the time of Kriya Shema.
But he never stopped. You mean he never stopped to say Shema?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to interrupt. So Amalei Bar Pachti B'Shoah Shemavir Yadav Al Panav Mekabel Av Al Malchus Shemayim. That at the time when he puts his hand over his face, so he is Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. This, by the way, so you see the Halacha quotes this line because this is the Makar for covering your eyes during Kriya Shema. So far, the Gemara hasn't told us that there is such an Indian. So why do we do it? We do it because this is what the Gemara tells us. This is how Rebbe did it, that he would cover his eyes and in the Kabbal of Al Malchus Shemayim.
The Rebbe only did the first pasuk.
That's what it sounds like. Right. So it sounds like he just did, because he didn't seem to do the whole thing when he would cover his eyes. He'd somehow try to sneak it in, which itself we have to figure out. We'll have to get into it more next week, why he was doing it in such a, was trying to smuggle in Kriya Shema, essentially, in the middle of Shir. Why did he not want to make it more public? But so the Gemara asks, so if he only did the first pasuk, so Chozer V'Gomorrah, wait no Chozer V'Gomorrah. So are we to assume that at some later point he would finish it and say the rest? Or should we say no, that was the whole story, that's all he did? So Bar Kaparo Omer Eino Chozer V'Gomra. Bar says he didn't finish it. Shimon Rebbe Omer Chozer V'Gomra. Okay, so it's apparently a dispute in Metzias as to what exactly he did. So Amalei Bar Kaparo Shimon Rebbe Bish Lamaladi Di Damina Eino Chozer V'Gomra. It makes sense, in my opinion, to say that he doesn't go back and finish it. So if I assume that he doesn't go back and finish it later, so that explains a unique practice that he had. That somehow, you notice, when he's saying Shir, he somehow always finds a way to fit in something about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That somehow always comes up. So apparently it's because he doesn't say the rest of Kriya Shema, and therefore he has this concern of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he's got to stick it in somewhere. So that's why. This is consistent. The fact that he somehow always manages to put this into the shir is consistent with the fact that he's not saying the rest of Kriya Shema. But according to you, that he does say hold of Kriyashma, so lama leila dure. So why is it so important to him that he finds a way to somehow tie in everything to Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the response is, and this is a fascinating response of a major topic which the Gemara is again alluding to only kind of agav, doesn't address head on. But says the Gemara response. Kedei lahazkir yitzias Mitzrayim bizmana. That he wants to be able to say yitzias Mitzrayim in its zman. So that is a very shocking statement if you think about it, because whoever said outside of this that there's such a concept of sof zman zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim? Right, that we don't have a source for that in the Torah that there is such a zman. So we had said, again in the introduction to the whole Kriya Shema discussion, that if you say all three paragraphs are Daraisa, it's hard to explain why the third paragraph is Daraisa Midine Kriya Shema, unless you want to say that we really are combining two mitzvahs, Kriya Shema and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore to say the whole package of three becomes Daraisa, and then fuses itself into Kriya Shema. The Rambam has the language of Harezu Kriya Shema, the three paragraphs. So here, you see how far that relationship goes. So, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is linked to Kriya Shema, and Rav Soloveitchik has a whole discussion about this in the Shirim Lezecher Avi Mori, where he discusses, again, that there's a thematic linkage between the two. It's not just that they happen to have the same time zone, so let's hitch a ride together because it's convenient, but they happen to complement each other in theme. So now apparently we have a concept of Sof Zman Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, that whatever the Zman of Shema, that it becomes connected. So if he slipped in the first Pasuk in the middle of Shir, even if he's willing to say the rest later, he's not willing to wait on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim has to still be connected with the Zman of Kriya Shema. It's really a fascinating idea with halachic implications, which is not addressed head-on. You know, we don't know anywhere from the Torah or from the Gemara elsewhere that there is such a concept of Zechiras, of Sof Zman Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, except to the extent that the two mitzvahs are essentially married. The two mitzvahs are put together in practice, so now whatever Zman Kriya Shema is, he also wants to have Yetzias Mitzrayim in that zone. And the assumption being, although the assumption of the question being, that if he went back and said the rest of Shema outside of Zman Kriya Shema, that would have been fine for him to see Yetzias Mitzrayim then. Which is a more intuitive assumption, so we would have thought of it. How do we know from the Torah that there's any limitation on Yetzias Mitzrayim? But also the implication is that he would say the rest of Kriya Shema even after the Zman of Kriya Shema. So why is that worthwhile in general outside of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So apparently, what you would see from here is that we also mentioned that the Birchos Kriya Shema have a status like Tefillah, it seems, the way many Rishonim understand. That you might think it's tied into Shema and should follow the rules of Shema. Apparently not. Apparently they follow the rules of Tefillah. So you can recite Birchos Kriya Shema outside the time of Kriya Shema itself. So, in honor of, just we should say a few words about Brachos Daf Beis today, in honor of the restarting of Shas in the first Daf. So, the big machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, on Brachos Daf Beis, and today's inaugural Daf, is that the question of how is it that we're able to be Yotzei Shema if we go to early Marv? Right, so, how is it that we're able to fulfill Shema there? So, Rashi says that you don't fulfill Shema with an early Ma'ariv, and Kriya Shema Lamita is enough. And Tosfos gets very upset. Tosfos says, but Kriya Shema Lamita is only one paragraph, there's no brachas, there's no smich, right, there's no smich, there's four kashas on it. So apparently, as some of the Achronim explain in Rashi, so you see that Rashi holds that you only have to do the Daraisa part of Bismana. That even though the rest of Shema you're going to say in Shul, that you could be Yotze with Zman Tefillah. If Ma'ariv is valid early, then the rest of Shema is also valid early. And that when you have to repeat a part in the right Zman, The only part you have to repeat is the part that's Daraisa. So apparently just the first paragraph, and that must be Shitas Rashi, that's what is Daraisa, that's all he cares about. Clearly he knew about Tosfos' Kashas. Rashi says in his Lashon that the first paragraph, the Yisei Alamita, is enough. So he wasn't unaware of Tosfos' Shilas, that there's no brachos and there's only one paragraph. Apparently he holds that's enough. So it could be that the mitzvah deraisa of Kriya Shema is all that has to be bezmana. And nonetheless, you say the rest anyway as part of the structure of tefillah. So that's what this Gemara sounds like as well, that maybe Rebbe only was concerned about getting the first pasuk in during the zman. And the rest would be, at a later, he would say the rest, but he would say it after the zman. And that's the machlokas, the Gemara, chozer v'gomra, oeinu chozer v'gomra. Okay, shkach. Shabbos. It's a really